Hello. We're broadcasting live from CITR 101.9 in Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hookaminum-speaking Musqueam people. Tonight is our first episode of the new year and our seventh show since the Accessibility Collective started. We can't wait to see where 2016 takes us. If it's for the seventh time or for the first time, we're so glad that you've tuned back in to All Access Pass on CITR. I'm Molly McAllister, and I'm joined by Katie and Spencer today. We have some really cool things coming up over the next few weeks and months that we think you're going to really love. So stay tuned in every Thursday at 5 o'clock. For the timeline of tonight's episode, we're going to start off with, in case you're still recovering from a holiday food coma or maybe forgot what All Access Pass is all about, or starting 2016 off by listening to our show for the first time, we'll give you a quick refresher on how our show came to be, who we are, some new faces, or should I say new voices, and what our collective is all about. After that, we'll be talking about accessibility and safety during emergencies, a topic that was inspired by last week's earthquake here in BC. We'll also touch on a story done by The National on CBC about a program focused on social skills and dating for young adults with autism in Calgary. I'll start you off because it's been such a lovely day today with a song by Reggie Blackout. Here is Lovely, Lovely Day.
So bombarded by life, I'm glad that you're around. Some days rock and some just roll. But when I look in your eyes, I'm good to go. Yeah. So I say, we'll
You're listening to All Access Pass. And that was Reggie Blackout with Lovely, Lovely Day. So this September, CITR started a new project called All Our Voices. From that, three different radio collectives were born. The Women's Collective, the Indigenous Collective, and the and who you're listening to right now, the Access Collective. Our collective comprises a diverse group of awesome human beings with awesome abilities. We produce this show, All Access Pass, to amplify the voices of a demographic and underrepresented in radio and media, including people of all abilities, both the content and the production of the show. We talk about a really big range of topics, but try to center everything around accessibility, inclusion, and equality. You will hear us review relevant news stories, cover local events, play amazing music, and have engaging interviews with artists, activists, employees, and employers, big thinkers, mountain movers, and inspiring dreamers.
So this is Molly back again. Thanks, Spencer, for that. I'm also super excited this week to introduce the newest member of our collective who's here with us today in studio, Katie Tizington-Turner. Welcome, Katie.
Hello.
So could you tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all, so our audience gets to know a little bit about who you are?
Kind of the general introduction. I'm a fifth-year student in the Faculty of Arts studying psychology with a minor in gender, race, sexuality, and social justice. And I've got my hands in a few different buckets across campus.
And what has brought you to CITR and the Accessibility Collective?
One of the courses that I'm taking this term, GRSJ 480, is a practicum course that was developed to give students in the Institute of Gender, Race, Sexuality, and Social Justice the opportunity to get hands-on experience in the field, which a lot of the students felt they were lacking. And this is going to be my practicum placement.
That's really cool. It's going to be really interesting to have someone on the show with like a new and exciting perspective. As a major in geography, the things I get to learn about in school, like rocks and water, aren't as interesting to talk about on the radio. But I'm really excited to see kind of like the issues and topics that you're going to be able to bring to our show, too. I think you're going to be a huge asset. And maybe to warn our listeners, Katie and I have been friends for several years. And as the weeks go on, you'll probably hear more and more sass come out as we get to talk together on the radio. We're both really excited. We'll both be graduating in April, knock on wood and fingers crossed. So we're going to try and pull our lives together and get through this last semester, and having the radio show and being able to do it together is an incredible opportunity to end our time at university together. So we're going to throw it now to another song. Here is Bowl of Seconds by Solveig Whittle.
I wake alone in the dark of midnight. I watch there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here, God, ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. I'm Molly McAllister. So next up on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about emergencies and accessibility. And that was inspired from the earthquake that happened last week that some of you guys might have felt. This was also a piece put together with the help of DP, who is another member of our collective, and she will hopefully be joining us on air next Thursday. For anyone, it can be a really panicking moment when an earthquake or fire occurs. In situations like these, any typical person or persons could take the stairs or walk outside if an unexpected fire erupts. When an earthquake happens, anyone who's capable of hiding under a table or finding a safe space could stay safe and unharmed. But what about the people who use wheelchairs or mobility assisting devices? What do they do in situations like these? Last week, on Tuesday evening at around 11:40 p.m., a magnitude 4.3 earthquake was felt in Vancouver and across southern BC. So that's pretty small, but I think it maybe reminded a lot of us that, like, we do live on the Ring of Fire, and there's lots of potential for us to have a big earthquake here. So we thought it would be a really important topic to address on our show. Spencer's going to come on now and talk with me a little bit about his thoughts on the earthquake, and just to give everybody a little bit of a preview for what that conversation will be about. Spencer, I think I can speak for you in this moment before you come on that you use a mobile wheelchair, and so you have a different perspective on this issue than I do. So what were some of your thoughts at the time of the earthquake, if you felt it?
Well, at the time of the earthquake, I thought it was just when the earthquake hit, I just thought it was like my bed shook, and then I was like, did a semi-truck just go racing by, and then my desk shook, and then I was like, oh, that was an earthquake. And my heart just like jumped out of my chest, because my and I didn't know what to think, because I'm like, we're not supposed to have earthquakes here. It's not right. And I was just scared out of my mind.
Mm-hmm. So you were like in bed at that time?
Yeah, I was in bed. Usually I'm just like watching TV and like hanging with my dog. So I thought that rumble had like, I thought he'd like fallen off my bed. So I just remember like yelling for my mom, like, what's going on, right? And I just remember my heart skipped a couple beats, and I just kept sweating, and I was like, I didn't know what to think.
Mm-hmm. I also felt the earthquake. I was out in Delta. I think you were in Vancouver, right? I know.
Yeah.
The epicenter was actually off Sydney, which is just a couple kilometers north of Victoria. I was also laying in bed, and so it was really interesting. I felt it more than I think I would have thought I would feel an earthquake, in terms of it is kind of how you hear about it on TV or when people talk about it. Like, there's this rattling and I felt the shaking. You take a second to process it. And for me, I think because it was so little and short, like, I didn't jump up and run out of the house, or it didn't feel like an emergency. But definitely after some time and just thinking about it, it does make you think kind of like, wow, what would that have been like if it was a big earthquake? So we've, you know, everyone goes through elementary school, high school, not as much in university, but you do earthquake drills and people kind of do the regular dialogue about what do you do when there's an earthquake. So I want to hear your perspective on, like, what are your thoughts when you reflect back on that earthquake? Wasn't consequential in this instance, but what kind of concerns do you have to worry about yourself that maybe people in wheelchairs, or people, sorry, that aren't in wheelchairs, don't think about when they're thinking about how they would deal with a situation like this?
Well, it just hit home, because, like, you know, like, because I'm sitting in a chair, I can't just crouch down and crawl under a table. So I'm like, oh shit, what do I do? So, and most, there's not a, like, a close door. There's not a, like, a close doorway I could just, like, go and park in the center of. So it's just really scary. And I was talking to one of my friends, like, what would happen if the big one were to hit. And I asked him, have you done anything to prepare yourself just in case we were to have another one? And he's like, no, I don't think about that stuff. But in that situation, we're basically all screwed because of our situation.
Yeah, it's definitely a serious topic where, like, I don't have an answer to that. I think it must be such a vulnerable and frustrating and like helpless feeling in a situation like that. DP also sent us a quote. She couldn't be here today, but she also uses an electric wheelchair. So I'll just read a quote from her about what she was thinking about. She also was laying down in bed and felt the earthquake as well. So her quote reads, I honestly didn't know what it was at first. I felt the ground moving and shaking, but sometimes that happens where I live because the airplanes fly overhead. So at first I didn't think much. But then my windows and walls were rattling too. So my mom got up and yelled, "It's an earthquake!" I was calm as I could be, and then it was over. However, after some time, I began to think about what had transpired and that it was only a couple seconds of rattling and ground movements, but it could have been longer or more damaging. So how could I have saved myself or protected myself in that kind of a situation? I can't get up and hide under a table or under a doorway. So that's a quote from DP. She also kind of had similar thoughts on the issue as did Spencer. We've done a little bit of research. Hopefully we can do some more in terms of like public policy, government protocol, emergency services training that have specific, they either have or they lack policies on how to assist people that might be in situations like DP and Spencer. And then also we're going to read some kind of like individual tips and tricks that could help people in a situation. There's concerns and safety tips for a person with limited ability. And according to Public Safety Canada, while disasters and emergencies affect everyone, their impact on people with disabilities and special needs is often compounded by factors such as reliance on electrical power, elevators, accessible transportation, and accessible communication. The following basic steps could help to take care of yourself and your loved ones during an emergency. They include knowing the risks, making a plan, and getting an emergency kit ready. So before we start more of the dialogue that came out of our research into Public Safety Canada's website, I just say like those three steps are definitely really important, but those are kind of the norm in terms of what everybody hears about earthquake preparedness. And we haven't dug deep into the issue today of maybe the inequity and the problems and the issues around accessibility in emergencies. But just to outline kind of some of the things that will help for now sets us up to, in the future, talk about this more as like a social issue as well as just the physical dilemma of what to do. So going back to Public Safety Canada's website and what they talked about, they talked about it being really important for people to have a support network. A personal support network is a group of at least three people you know and trust who would help you during an emergency. And how do you create a support network? You ask people if you trust, if they're willing to help you in case of an emergency. Identify and write down contacts and locations such as home, work, or school. It's also suggested that you ask your neighbors because they are the closest and most available contacts in case of an emergency. You should tell these support people where your emergency kit is stored and include a support network contact who is far enough away that they are unlikely to be affected by the same emergency that you are. This way, they can make some calls when you're unable to. Make sure you work with your support network to develop a plan that meets your specific needs and practice your emergency plan with your network. It's mentioned that you will need to show them how your mobility equipment works, so that could be mobility equipment in addition to adaptive communication devices as well. The website goes on to talk about what you should put in your emergency kit. And according to them, you'll need some basic supplies in case of the emergency. And you should always be checking the kit twice a year to ensure that contents are up to date and restocked. These would be things that you would have in your home, but it's also going to be something that employers will have in workplaces as well. Their kits will be a little bit different. And I think for people with disabilities, it's important that you also make sure that you're being looked after at your workplace. You could have a really good kit at home that meets all your needs, but the time that you spend at work, it's likely that something could happen and you'll be at work and you don't have that kit, or maybe it's in your car and you don't have access to your car. So I think it's an important conversation to have with your employers or organizations you work or volunteer for, and so that they would be able to support you as well. just like really briefly touching on the basic emergency kit checklist. Included are things like water, food that won't spoil, manual can opener, wind-up or battery-powered flashlight, battery-powered radio, first aid kit, special items like prescription medications and medic alert bracelets, extra keys in car or extra keys to your house and car, and cash in smaller bills such as $10 bills and $5 bills. That was added in. I would take this bit out maybe at this point, but that was added in maybe a long time ago because it said that you could also bring coins for payphones, but who uses payphones in an emergency nowadays, right? We got our cell phones. Also include special items according to your specific needs, like prescription medication, infant formula, special equipment, pet food, and water. And make sure to always have a copy of your emergency plan and your contact information. For all the information on how to ensure that people with disabilities are safe in the case of an emergency, please do check out Public Safety Canada's website because we have just scratched the surface of this issue. Their website is getprepared.gc.ca. We're going to throw it to a song now. This is Don't You Agree by Marty Zylstra.
You think?
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
Bam! Peanut butter and jam!
What the f*** are you doing, Phil?
Right now it's time to...
Peanut butter.
Dance!
First you dig peanuts and you dig them. You dig them. Then you crush them. You crush them. Then you spread them. You spread them. Peanut butter.
Dance!
Peanut butter.
If you're looking for the best in local music and local food, it's got to be Peanut Butter and Jams with your hosts Brenda and Jordy, alternating Thursdays 6 to 7:30. Check it out.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. Hope you enjoyed those PSAs and our story about the earthquake from last week. Next up on tonight's show, I'm going to talk about a program that was done on CBC The National on January 4th, so this Monday. The whole video can be found on their website, and I'm just going to talk about the story that they published. So the story that they aired was about a program in Calgary that is helping young adults with autism learn social skills to help them navigate the world of dating. It's called the Peers Program, and it consists of a group of adults in their 20s and instructors who teach them social skills that aren't always innate for the participants. In the words of one of the participants, social norms and techniques that come naturally to a lot of people, I have to learn. So that kind of summarizes what this is all about. It's just breaking it down to like dating ABCs. It's really beneficial for the participants that are in the program to have this type of program facilitated so that they are able to feel confident pursuing dating opportunities. For many of them, emotions, facial expressions, and tone of voice can be difficult to read, but are all big parts of conversations and building relationships. The Peers program also supports a lot of the participants' parents. It teaches them how to help bring the skills home from the peers and help their sons and daughters implement them in their everyday lives, because they're the ones that are at home with these adults and are a part of who they build relationships with in their lives. Foundationally, even before entering the dating world, these types of skills are critical. As one of the staff at Peers explained in the CBC interview, people who don't establish good social foundation or social networks later on in life risk of mental health concerns, including isolation, depression, and anxiety, increase. For these adults with autism, Peers is providing them with a social toolkit that can really change their lives. When asked what he envisioned for his life in the future, one of the participants responded, "Having good friends and a girlfriend too. A girlfriend who loves me for who I am." When asked why it was important for him to meet someone, his simple and inspiring answer was, "So I can have the time of my life with them." For those listening who are in BC and are interested in the Peers program in Calgary, There are also programs here that are similar to this one. So the Connects Autism Network, often referred to as CAN, offers social programs in addition to a ton of sports and recreation programs as well. And those are for teens and adults with autism. If you or someone you know is interested in learning more about them, you can check out connectsautismnetwork.ca. And registration for social programs in the spring open on January 10th, so just in 3 days. You can also learn more about the National's coverage of the PEERS program in Calgary by going to cbc.ca/player. Spencer, could you throw us to our next song?
Here is Noah Dirksen with Man That I Am.
Sorry, folks, we're going to have to send you to a different song. Here is Bowl of Seconds.
Welcome back to All Access Pass, and I'm sorry But we played Bowl of Seconds twice. I just realized that. And here's a new song, Faces in the Sand by Good for Grapes.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver at UBC. So things to come on All Access Pass in the next few weeks and through February and March that you can look forward to, tell you a little bit about. We're going to be doing an interview with Chris Brandt. He is from the nonprofit organization in Vancouver called Music Heals. Spencer will be he'll be interviewing him. We're also sending him emails right now. That's why I said that. It's on my mind. I have emails on my brain. But with that, in that episode, we're also going to be interviewing from Winnipeg a music therapist named Erin Koop. So that's going to be a really, really cool episode to do. We're going to talk about kind of what kind of power music has in people's lives. Really relevant to radio, and I think it's going to be a really fun topic to talk about. We're also going to be covering the Push Festival happening in Vancouver. We're going to cover that in the last week of January or the first week of February. We have the pleasure of attending a play called Riding on a Cloud that's playing in Granville Island from February 6th to 9th. We'll be in touch with the director and playwright, Rabbi Moreau, and we'll be doing an interview with him on the show. So make sure to stay tuned in and hear more about it. He has a really interesting story. He's just coming to Canada to start his North America tour of his play, and he, I think, is just arriving in a couple days from Lebanon. We will also be doing something a little closer to home. We'll be doing a second interview with Jack.org at UEC. If you've listened to our first episode of All Access Pass way back in the first week of November, I had the pleasure of interviewing Maddie Wood, who's a UBC student, and she was the founder and president of Jack.org's chapter at UBC. We're really looking forward to touching base with her again, as well as I think the co-president is coming in, and seeing what that organization has been able to accomplish in the last couple months. It's an interesting parallel because both our Access Collective and the Jack.org chapter at UBC started up at similar times, and it's going to be fun to have a conversation with her and talk about how we've both had experiences of learning and growth and getting these projects off the ground. She's doing some really, really cool work at UBC around topics of mental health and breaking down stigmatization. So we look forward to talking to her again. We'll also be doing an interview with an amazing, amazing family that I know. The mom's name is Abby Gates, and I know her from volunteering in a soccer program or a soccer team that she started almost 10 years ago. It's a really, really special soccer team. She'll also be bringing her son and hopefully her daughter as well in, Lucas and Sadie Gates. Lucas will hopefully talk to us a little bit about his experience in post-secondary education. That will play a little bit off of our interview we've already done with Dr. Pat Miranda, where she talked about the experiences and the accessibility of post-secondary education for students and young adults with autism. And we'll hear what Sadie has to say too. She's been a player on the soccer team that Abby started a long time ago. So we're very excited to have all those people in on the show. Katie will also be here for the rest of the semester doing some really cool things. I'm excited to see the stories that she'll be able to cover, especially from her JRSJ perspective and social justice issues. And we'll also have DP. She has been a member of our collective for a little while, and I think she'll be on air next Thursday. So we're excited to introduce her to you as well on the radio. We are also looking for more people to come get involved in our Access Collective. It's an amazing, amazing thing to get involved in, and I think you have tons of fun. If you're interested in getting involved, don't have to be a UBC student. You can be someone of any ability, any background, any experience level, and we'd love to have you come and check out the show. So shoot me an email if you're interested at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. Spencer, can you throw us to our last song for the evening?
Here is Pieces by Allie Milner.
Kill me softly, love me slow. So she wrote, you're no good for me. My lips, dear, words so sweet. Please know I see.
So to finish off our episode for tonight, I'm going to remind you guys to tune back in every Thursday at 5 p.m. or stream online live at citr.ca. The banner at the top of the homepage will point you towards what's on live on air at that time. If you're not available Thursdays at 5 o'clock, you can always go back to the website and listen to any episode because all of our episodes get podcasted, which is really awesome. If you're interested in getting involved in the collective, again, please email accessibilitycollective@citr.ca. And we'll be back on the waves next Thursday at 5 o'clock. We hope you have a solid weekend.
I think we teased you a little bit because we actually have one more song for you. Here is Gina Perla with Exactly Nowhere.
Heart is where the home is. I can't find mine. Think I left it in the cushions of your couch. And everything is ouch, yeah. Everything hurts. I can't breathe and I'm getting worse. Cause I miss you.